2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to be in verses 1 through 7, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and this morning we're looking at staying the course. We could apply this to still the same idea of us protecting ourselves from backsliding. How do we do that? There's so many ways. I mean, almost anything, if we just obey the Word of God, it's going to help us to not backslide. But what we want to do is we want to stay the course, and there's a reason that we want to stay the course. Maybe we could look at this not so much as necessarily helping ourselves not to backslide, but how can we help the next generation not to backslide? Those coming behind us. We could look here, we could say the children, the younger generation that's represented in this church, but I want to take it beyond that. I want to say, how about the next generation of those that we reach with the gospel, our spiritual children? How can we help them not to backslide? And the answer to that, honestly, is just to stay the course. That we would, day in and day out, live for Jesus Christ, live for the Lord our God, and not compromise in areas, not compromise in our walk with Him, in simple things like that. Not compromise in just being a daily consistent example to other believers. Showing them what it should be like, how a true believer should live, but that we'd stay the course. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul gives this advice to a young Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. And again, I preach through that and Paul's putting it before Timothy, saying, hey, God is going to judge you. Hey, I'm giving you this charge. You ought to live for God, and here's what God expects of you. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. And here's the reason why. Because or for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto the fables. He said, so because that day's coming, Timothy, preach the Word. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Father, we come before You, Lord, asking You to help us to fight the good fight, to finish our course, to keep the faith. Because the day's coming when we too will pass. And there's a generation behind us, Lord, that we want to have the same thing we have. We want them to stand better than we did, stronger than we did, more faithful than we were. God, help us. Help us in this generation to stay the course. Please, Lord God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If we're to stay the course, that means we have to think of others first. We have to think of others first. That's the reason you stay the course. That's what Paul is talking about right here. He says, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He's in prison and he's saying, I know I'm going to die. It's soon. It's coming. And he did die shortly after this. And he knew it was coming. Paul's life is one of Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, being a living sacrifice. And I'm likely going to preach on that next week. But that's Paul's life. He's epitomized by those verses, that he put others first. And if we are to stay the course and to pass down the same thing that we've been given, then we have to put others first. It has to stop being about us. It has to. That's unnatural. That is the opposite of what we naturally think to do. But if we're to be faithful to God and give them what we've been given, it's necessary. We have to put others first. We need to make no mistake about it as well, that we are in a battle for souls. A battle for souls. Let's go with me. Save your spot there. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we want chapter 11. That's not it, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. We're in a battle for souls. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If the gospel's hid, Paul says, it's hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We're in a spiritual battle, and it's real. It's real. You know, I was joking with Brother Damian on Friday as we were out door knocking there in the war zone. And I said, man, it's amazing out here. Everyone's so friendly. And I mean, you think that's kind of weird, but it's true. Most everyone's friendly. I mean, we've run into some that aren't, but that's everywhere you take the gospel. But for the most part, people are friendly. They're open. They're willing to talk. There's some people that don't want to hear it, but that's everywhere. But they're just so friendly over there. I said, man, when we get back to knocking doors for liberty, man, no one's going to want to go to Westgate anymore. Because we get over here and it's just cold. They're just so indifferent. They don't even want to talk about it. They'll take, okay, yeah, and just close the door. I mean, they don't want to hear from you at all. But you can see it's a different blindness over there than the blindness over here. But they're still blinded by the God of this world. As we go to other areas, as the Lord expands it, and you know, that's why we need to pray for men. We need to pray for the right man. I mean, I'm telling you, still pray for a black man. Yeah, amen. We need a black man to surrender to preach, to start a church, to reach black people. Because I get we can, but not as effective as he could. Not as effective as he could. Look, when we go into like areas like La Cueva and stuff, we need the right man. It's got to be the right type of man. I probably will not be good for that. That I will not. I know that. That's not me. We need a different type of man for that. We got to pray him in. We've got to pray these men in. Now, I'm willing to do it. I'll do either one. I'm like, let's start a black church, but I don't think too many of them are going to come. You know, but if there's a black man as the pastor, then you're more likely to get black people there. That's just how it is. That's just human nature. Doesn't matter. That's how it works. You look in prisons, they all associate with their, and I don't necessarily agree with this term, but they associate with their race. We're all one race, by the way. Amen. But they all associate with their color, their skin color. That's just how it is. Okay, that's nature. Okay, and I get it. Once somebody gets saved and they begin to learn, they're like, oh no, we're all one. There's no difference. There's no Jew or Gentile. Once we're part of this church, we're all the church of God. Amen. No distinctions with God. But we need to pray for these men. We need to reach them. But again, I'm getting back to the fact that, hey, we're in a battle for souls, and there's different blindness that's happened in each area. Every area that we go to, you know, we go to some of these nicer areas, it's going to be their money is going to be what's blinding them. The God of the world says, hey, you got everything you need. You don't need what they've got. We get over there in the war zone, it's like, nah, you're too much of a sinner. You've got too much baggage. God can't save you. He doesn't want you like this. You can't be used of God. We get over here, they're just indifferent. They don't care. I don't need that. Who cares? Don't want it. I'm fine how I am. That's how they are. It's just different blindness. But it's the God of this world that blinded all of them. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And what do? We got to take the word to them. We got to shine that light in darkness and expose their sin. Expose their need for a Savior. That's why we use the law of the Lord. The labor that we've spent over this past week is tiresome, but it's for the souls of men. I'm telling you, I've been tired. I've been tired. After yesterday, I was tired. My legs ached, my feet ached, I was tired. Endure afflictions. Amen. That's not even an affliction, honestly. But still, I get it. We're flesh and blood, we get tired. You know, you can't think as good when you're tired even. So it is something. I know we're not being persecuted like that. It's still an affliction. I mean, it's weariness on our body. So, but we're to endure is my point. Now, as we stay the course, we need to have constantly before us, we need to have an eternal perspective. We need to think that it's for the souls of men. That's why we stay the course, because in the end, that's what it's about. The souls of men. God has put us here as ambassadors to reach the souls of men. How many of us have lost family in here? Amen. Every one of us. How many of us want them saved? Amen. Don't we want a faithful soul winner to go tell them the truth? Amen. Can we be that for the souls of men? We fight and battle to stay on course so that we can keep the faith for the next generation. That's why we fight and battle, so we keep the faith for the next generation. And we can look at it in both aspects, as I already mentioned, for our own children, but also the next generation of Christians, our spiritual children, that might be older than us, but they're our spiritual children. That's why we stay the course for them. Selflessness. If we let it die, it dies with us and on our watch. I don't want that on my shoulders. Hey, by the grace of God and over my dead body, that'll happen. That's the stand I want to take. It's not going to happen. It won't die on my watch. If I have anything to say about it, I don't want to let it die on my watch. I want to stand for the faith once delivered to the saints. Where do you stand? Friends, join the battle and stay the course. We need to stay the course in order to give the same thing we were given to the next generation. That's why we stay the course, so we can give them the same thing. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Four generations listed in that one verse. But he says, hey, give them the same thing. The same. I want the generation coming up. I want you all to have the same thing, the same doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. And I want the doctrine that we have here to be passed to the next generation. But if we don't stay the course, if we don't aren't able to say like the apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. If we can't say that, then they won't have the same thing. If we let the temptations of this life draw us and suck us away from serving God as we ought to, we will not be able to say that like Paul. I'm telling you, it got so bad for Paul that he says in one time, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, he said, we despaired even of life. Things were so bad that we despaired even of life. You know what that means? Paul's saying, I wanted to die. All of us wanted to die. We wanted to quit. We wanted to give up. Did he? Did he quit? Did he give up? Nope. We've got him saying right here, I finished my course. Anybody ever been on an obstacle course? Anybody? I remember when I was in military school at NEMI down in Roswell, they had an obstacle course set up, and it was actually pretty fun. Some people didn't like it. I enjoyed it. They had rappelling and everything. That's a blast if you've never done that. But they had this obstacle course, and they put us, we'd have to run through as squads. It'd be like 6-7 people. And you had to, the whole team, the whole squad had to finish the course. You'd go through the course and you'd have to do every obstacle throughout that course. And at the end, you would finish the course. You can't have someone drop out. Someone cannot drop out. You can't drop out serving God. You can't. You can't quit. Don't quit. Don't back off. Be like Paul. Say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Don't quit. You know what one of the good things was doing that obstacle course? Because you wanted to do it as fast as you could. And we'd come to the part where you do, I just lost what it's called. What is it called where you pull yourself up a rope? I guess a rope climb. Is that what it is? It doesn't have a name. Rope climb, whatever. Anyway, you climb up a rope. Get to the top, okay? But, you know, a lot of people would struggle with that because people didn't have the arm strength to be able to do it. So they would struggle with it. But what would happen, because we were on a team and we were all working together, is as soon as you'd get on it, it didn't matter if you had the strength to do it or not, because everyone on the bottom would just grab you and they just, boom, just throw you up. I mean, and like lightning fast, you're at the top. You're like, boom, because they grab you and they just lift you up. So it's like, boom, next one, next, 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 because you want to finish in the fastest time you can. But guess what? Everyone was able to do it. Why? Because we helped each other. Because we helped each other. That's the same thing, even better with this body. Stay the course. Don't get off. I know it might be this. Maybe there might be parts that this is hard. I can't do this. It's hard for me. Well, you've got those that are here to help you, that can encourage you, that can keep you on the course. I don't know what keeps clicking here, but it's driving me crazy. I don't know if it's that, if it's this mic. Let me take this off. Maybe it's my jacket hitting it. It's bothering me, though. Stay the course. Don't quit. Keep going. Encourage each other. You know what? If you notice someone isn't going soul winning with us as we go for this church, invite them. Say, hey, can you come? Let's try and schedule a time. And I get it if you can't. Sometimes it doesn't work. I understand that. I'm not saying to make someone feel guilty, but to encourage them. Hey, let's go together. Encourage them to be a part, to stay the course, to be selfless for others, for the next generation. This whole charge that we're looking at right here is given because Paul is going to die. He says, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. That amen. Anybody ever been on a flight? You ever taken a flight? It's a departure, right? Because you have a destination. Amen. Death, it's not over. We're going on a departure. We have a destination. Praise God if we're saved. Amen. We're heaven bound. Thank God for that. We're departing. We're not just dead and cease, or we're not going to hell. We have a departure date, and it's to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how Paul looked at it. Hey, time of my departure is at hand. I got my ticket in hand. Amen. He said, I'm ready to go because I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Can we say that? Can we say that? Maybe you've gotten off course. Get back on. Get back on the course. Paul's going to die. He recognized that. And he brings this charge. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings this challenge to him because he says, Timothy, I'm passing off. And I want you to have what I've had. And we could go into the rest of it, verses 8 through 11 and on even, but specifically verse 8, where it talks about the rewards that come as well of staying the course. God used that as a motivator for us. He said it, hey, I finished my course. Henceforth, because I finished my course, because I fought a good fight, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He says, I have some rewards coming to me. God used that as a motivator for Paul. And Paul was doing the same thing to Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, I'm going to die. I'm leaving. This is it. Stay the course. Stay the course. Don't quit. Don't back down. There's rewards for you. We have to keep intact what was given to us in order for them to have what was delivered to us. We can't change it. We can't alter it. We don't have the ability to do that. We the same. Isn't that what he said over here in chapter 2, verse 2? The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. The same? The same. We're to do the same thing right here. That's why he said preach the word. Preach the Bible. Preach the same. Give them the same doctrine. There's five guards given right here in verse 1 and verse 5 given so that we can keep the faith pure as given by Paul. In verse 2, he says, preach the word. And I belabored that for some time, probably for 2-3 weeks, about preaching the word, being instant in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine because of the apostasy that's going to set in. So he says, preach the word. And that's the standard. That's the baseline. We preach the Bible. We stand on the Bible. We don't back down from the Bible. We're a Bible-preaching church. Don't be ashamed to tell people that when we're out inviting them. Say, hey, we preach the Bible. We stand on the book. Amen. Because you're going to hear some crazy doctrines out there, and you don't have to get in a debate with them about everything. But I'll just tell them is, we preach the book. Come hear us. I promise you'll learn the Bible like you never have. And I promise them they will. They'll learn the Bible like they've never learned it. But we preach the book. We stand on the Bible. Preach the word. That's why. Because this charge was given to Timothy. It's laid here before us to preach the word, to stand on the word, to follow the word. So we preach the word, the second guard. But watch thou in all things. Watch thou in all things. Let me back up to preaching the word. Paul warned about errors that were going to come in, the apostasy, when they wouldn't endure sound doctrine. And we've got to do the same exact thing, just like Paul did. I like Matthew Henry said this. They will not endure sound doctrine. There will be those who will heap to themselves corrupt teachers and will turn away their ears from the truth, and therefore secure as many as thou canst. He's saying, What we need to do is secure as many as thou canst, that when these storms and tempests do arise, they may be well fixed and their apostasy may be prevented. People must hear and ministers must preach for the time to come and guard against the mischiefs that are likely to arise hereafter, though they do not yet arise. What's he saying? Preachers need to preach and people need to hear about the warnings of what's to come. That's why I preach on contemporary issues that are hot button issues. People might think that, oh, you're doing that just to get a reaction from people. No, I'm doing it to protect you. To protect you from the dangers that are out there. Some of the stuff I talk about, some of you never heard of it. Why do I bring it up? Because it's out there. It's on the horizon. And this is what people believe. And I want you to be aware of it. I want you to say, oh, that's what apostasy looks like. The emergent church, we don't want anything to do with that. How's it coming into Baptist churches like this? Through the music? Through CCM? That's how it comes in. We just found out a song yesterday that we've sung. I love the song, man. I want to keep hearing it. But it's CCM. I said, we're not doing that anymore. I said, that's the last time we're hearing that. My fault. I'm sorry. I apologize. If it comes through here, it's my fault. It's nobody else's. The person that first found it and brought it to me apologized. It's not your fault. It's my fault. It's my fault that song got through. I should have looked. You say, well, it wasn't a bad song. I don't think we've sung any bad songs. It's where it's leading. What bridge is it connecting us to? See, I'm to protect you. And that's what it means to preach the word, because they won't endure sound doctrine. We have to touch on these things. Paul did. He said, hey, there's a time coming. Danger's coming. You watch out. He said to the church in Ephesus, told the pastors, hey, of your own selves, men are going to rise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. You better watch out. And that's exactly what we need to do today, and why Christianity is in the apostasy that it's in, that was prophesied right here when they won't endure sound doctrine, is because preachers stop preaching the Bible. That's why we're in the apostasy that we're in today. Man, this thing, I can't even use it. That's why we're in the apostasy that we're in today. I even held it up. Because preachers won't preach the Bible. The guards preach the word. Watch thou in all things. You know what that talks about, a watch? If you think of a guard, and we could get back to Nehemiah, and I'm sure I've touched on this before, or in military, whatever, wherever it's at, you keep guard watch, guard duty. Somebody would be on watch. They'd be up and alert, just watching for any dangers that would come around. That's what this is talking about. But watch thou in all things. He's talking to a pastor here. I get that. This is for all of us, though. All of us should be alert. All of us should be diligent. All of us should walk circumspectly, looking for dangers. Yeah, the devil's behind every bush. Yeah, he is, and you better keep your eyes open. If we found out a lion was prowling the streets of Albuquerque right here in this church, I promise you that door wouldn't be open right now. I can tell you that much. Okay? But when we went outside, I mean, everyone would be like peeking through the door. We'd be like, do you see him? No. Who's going to their car first? You. No, you. No, you. You go. I'll get you back. All right? I'd be like, he's on your back. Close the door. Right? I mean, isn't that what we do? We'd get out quick, man. We'd be walking circumspectly. We'd be like, there's a lion loose. He's already eaten two children that disobeyed their parents. I mean, watch out for him. Watch in all things. That's what it says, isn't it? But watch thou in all things. Not in some things, not in most things, not in what you think is important, not in the cardinal doctrines, not in the fundamentals of the faith, but watch thou in all things. Amen. Everything. We have all scriptures given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
All things, everything the Bible touches on, we're to watch, we're to guard. The third watch, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions as we are afflicted, as life just brings life on us. As bad things happen, as loved ones die, as we lose our jobs, as we injure ourselves, we hurt ourselves, we're in pain, we get a sickness, somebody we love gets a sickness, whatever it may be, whatever may come, we're suffering persecution for the gospel's sake, whatever it is, Paul says, endure afflictions. If we're to stay the course and give the same thing to the next generation and the same thing to the next generation, then we must endure afflictions. We have to endure afflictions. We can't quit when it gets hard, because it's going to get hard. We cannot quit. We can't give in. We've got to stay the course. Endure afflictions. We're told we're soldiers. Endure hardness as a good soldier, Paul told Timothy as well. Endure hardness. I said earlier we're in a spiritual battle. We're fighting the forces of evil. And it's not some pretend video game thing. We are fighting the forces of evil. You could see it out there when we go out there. When we go out there, you can see it out there. We're fighting the forces of evil. Any of you ever been discouraged for some reason? You just can't figure it out why as you're out sharing the gospel? You ever just have that feeling? Well, that's spiritual attack. I'm telling you right now, and it's real. Amen. It's very. You ever been out there just fearful? Just scared to death? Anybody? I have. I've been out there scared to death, and I don't even know why. I don't even want to talk to these people. Lord, I'm scared. What if this? What if that? That's spiritual attack. That's the devil trying to discourage you, saying, stay down. Get off course. Do whatever you want, just don't serve God. Stay in bed. Don't come out. Let your fear stop you. The fear of man bringeth a snare. It's a trap. Fear's a trap. I like that little saying. It said, what was it? Fear knocked on the door. Faith answered. Nothing was there. Isn't that how it is? So often we fear things and it's nothing's even there. But it'll stop us. It'll stop us from doing what God wants. Amen. See, endure afflictions. Don't let those things stop you. Don't let those things put you down. Oh, I'm so often reminded of Amnon had a friend. Wasn't that good, that message Brother Brad preached? Amnon had a friend. How true that is. You got a friend that's just going to pull us away from God. Hey, endure afflictions. You better lose that friend. You better lose that friend. You just live for Jesus. They'll leave. If you got a worldly friend and they stick around, guess who you're not living for? I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Now I get it. We want to try and reach the lost. And we're not trying to be rude or mean or make it like we're better than anybody. But look, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I didn't ever try to shove my religion down anyone's throat. They may differ on that and say, yeah, you did. All I did was, I just started telling friends, hey, don't cuss in my house. Don't cuss here. We don't talk like that anymore. And I'm telling you right now, I have the worst mouth of all my friends. I'm not kidding one bit when I say that. And I told them, they came in and started cussing. I said, hey, don't talk like that in this house anymore. We don't do that. I don't do that anymore. And they go, what? And guess what they stopped doing when I wasn't drinking with them anymore, when I wasn't partying with them anymore? They stopped coming around. They stopped. I didn't tell them, stop coming, you can't come here anymore. They said, hey, you want to come over here? No, I don't go to places like that anymore. No, why don't you come over? And they didn't want to. You've got to endure afflictions, and that may mean losing some friends. It may mean you have to hang out less with family. And I know I've mentioned that before, but it's true. Family can be the biggest hindrance to bring you down. I'm not saying you don't love family, you don't spend time with them, but they can be one of the biggest hindrances to bring you away from Christ and away from your walk with God. They can hurt you. We need to endure afflictions. Endure them. So that we can, at the end of our life, we can stand there and say, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. We stay the course so that at the end of that, the next generation has the same exact thing that we had. We're able to give it to them and say, just like this, just say, hey, this is what was given to me. I had somebody give this to me, and here it is. I left it there for them, but now guess what? I'm passing it on to the next generation. I'm giving them the same thing that I got. The same thing I got, I'm able to, all these years later, at the end of my life. Why? Because we follow the apostles' doctrine. Amen. At the end of my life, I'm able to say here, hey, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. What are you going to do with it? But who's there? Who's there to take it? Who's there to take it? See, if we don't keep the same thing, then we're not reaching people to give it to the next person. See, we can hold all the right doctrine that we want. We can say, we hold to this. Oh, we stand on the apostles' doctrine. We believe it. We've endured affliction. We preach the word. But if we're not holding to all of it and reaching people, there'll be nobody to give it to. Nobody to give it to. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Number four, do the work of an evangelist. You know what that means? So I read all the commentaries they talked about. That means to go evangelize, and that's part of it. It's not what it means. It means to do the work of church planting, to do exactly what we're doing. Philip the evangelist was a church planter. He's the only person ever called an evangelist in the Bible, by the way. He was a church planter. Do the work of an evangelist. He's telling this to a pastor. So go start churches. And you can see that's the pattern that was laid forth. That's what Timothy did. That's what Titus did. They were doing the work of an evangelist. That's what we're doing. I'm a pastor here, and I'm doing the work of an evangelist. We're starting Landmark Baptist Church. And that's what we're to do. We're to continue in the same things. That's a great commission, by the way. Do the work of an evangelist. So if we're to say at the end of our life that we were faithful to the Lord, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, and I'm to hand this to somebody else, well, if I'm doing the work of an evangelist, then there's going to be somebody there.
Amen.
And I can give it to them. I can give them the same thing that I was given and say, hey, you better hold to that. You better keep that. The same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is what I got right here, young man. This is what I received. This is what was committed to me. This is what was given to me. And I'm giving you the exact same thing. Now you commit that to faithful men so that they can give it and commit it to others. But if we don't keep the course, if we don't stay the course, it won't happen. But to stay the course means we need to do the work of an evangelist. We must be about evangelization as churches. We have to be. That's the heartbeat of this church. That's the heartbeat of any church is evangelization. If a church doesn't evangelize, they are dying. I don't care how many activities they have going on. Does not matter how many things they have going on. Does not matter how many thousands of people they have coming there. If they are not evangelizing, they are dying. We can go to the pit, whatever they call it now. I still call it the pit. It's still the pit. Don't even call it whatever else they change the name to. I'll just throw that in. That's extra, okay? But if we go to the pit for a basketball game, they got a bunch of people there. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything how many people they have there. Just because something calls itself a church, if they don't evangelize, they're dying. They may be a true church, but they're dying. Any church that doesn't evangelize is dying. That's why we looked at leaving your first love. They left their first love. What is that? I personally believe it's their love for God. And if we love God, we'll keep His commandments. Excuse me. His number one commandment was, as He left this earth, He said, go, 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 baptize. That's church planting. Amen, right there. Go reach people with the gospel. See them baptized. See them discipled. And keep doing it. Go. Go. Do the work of an evangelist. And then lastly, the fifth guard that we would have to protect ourselves as a church or to protect the next generation so that we'd stay the course so that we can hand the same thing to the next generation is that we would make full proof of thy ministry. Let me find my spot here. There's something I wanted to read in this. We need to be obedient to God's way of ministry and let that speak for itself. Matthew Henry said this, the best way to make full proof of our ministry is to fulfill it, to fill it up in all parts with proper work. Amen. Just do it. Just do it. That's what he said. Just do it. But I got to now. Fighting with me. Okay, no, I'm not. Albert Barnes said this. The meaning here seems to be to furnish full evidence of what is the design of the Christian ministry and what it is adapted to accomplish by the faithful performance of all duties. Timothy was so to discharge the duties of his office as to furnish a fair illustration of what the ministry could do and thus to show the wisdom of the Savior and its institution. Make full proof of thy ministry. Do it. Do it and prove to others that doing it God's way works, even if it's against man's way. Let me just say right now, what we're doing is not normal. This is not normal. I've had people look at me like I have three eyes when I tell them what we're doing. But it's Bible. It should be normal. But because we left off God's way and we wanted to do it man's way, well, man's way now seems normal and the biblical way is looked down upon. And I'm telling you, preachers look down upon it. Preachers look down upon it. I brought this very thing that we're doing right now before a couple preachers in this area. And I wanted them to get involved in it. And the Lord protected us. I thank God for it, but it showed me something as well. I wanted them to get involved in it. I wanted them to help us. And they basically looked down on what we're doing. Almost mocked it, not quite, almost mocked it. And said, why don't you start a bus ministry instead? Why don't you start a bus route over there instead? Because that's in the Bible. Look, I'm telling you, I'm not against a bus ministry. Matter of fact, pray for a 15-passenger van. And I'm going to ask you to pray specifically. Pray for a brand new 15-passenger van. We've talked to a lot of people over there that said they want to ride. Pray for a 15-passenger van. We want to bring people to church. I have zero problem with that. But that is not the Great Commission. The Great Commission is church planting. I can show you in the Bible where churches are to be started. I can't show you where bus ministries are to be started. I'm not against bus ministries. I think they're an effective tool to reach your area. Great, let's bring people to the Lord. Let's share the gospel with them. Let's bring them in and teach them the Word of God. I have zero problem with that. But church planting is in the Bible. Church planting is the Great Commission. Amen. And it's looked down upon. This is just where men are at. So what we have to do to prove it to those men, make full proof of thy ministry. Let's let them see that God's way works. You know, matter of fact, let me put it to you like this. Even if God's way doesn't work, we're still going to do it. Because it's God's way, because God said to do it. Let's not forget that he said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, so you just preach the word anyway. Just keep preaching. Amen. Amen. If we stay the course, we can give the next generation the same thing. You willing to stay the course? Let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord.